Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, January 17th, and I do appreciate you being tuned in and joining with us here over the airwaves of WSOF and WAJJ Radio in Madisonville, Kentucky, and McKenzie, Tennessee, respectively. I appreciate you being tuned in if you're listening over the Internet, and we're grateful for those, our faithful listeners. Let me remind you again, I plug this once in a while and forget it more than I plug it. We do have these broadcasts on our website in what's called podcast form, in which you can listen to them at your convenience. And so if you'd like to go there, that's wsof.org, and you can download those and listen to those as well. Or our church website, the Highland Ford Baptist Church website, and you can go there and check that out as well. All right. Well, we're going to get ready to move right along in the program. I do thank God for His goodness and His blessings unto us. And got a number of requests of prayer and things that we need to pray about. And so what I believe I'll do is just go into prayer. So if you'll go to prayer time with us at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You again for Your goodness. I want to thank You for salvation. Lord, I know that there's nothing I ever did or could ever do that would merit salvation. I never deserve anything other than the judgment of God. And yet, Lord, because of Your mercy, You've granted salvation, not just to me, but to whosoever will. I want to thank You, Lord, for the great love of God. Paul called it the unspeakable gift. Oh, Lord, how great is Thy goodness. How great is Thy mercy. And I thank You for it. Father, I pray now that You'd help these on our prayer list. And these that we're praying for, Lord, I do pray for the Moody family. They had Brother Moody's funeral today. Lord, I pray that You'd be with the family. Lord, I pray that You'd help that the words that Pastor Durham spoke at the funeral might be heeded and heard. And, Lord, that they might bring forth a good harvest for the glory of Christ. Thank You for the good testimony Brother Moody left behind. And Father, we're going to miss him as well as others are. And we're missing others that we've lost that we know of close by. Lord, I pray You'd help in these needs. Then, Lord, I pray that You'd touch Mrs. Holliday, help her, Lord, about her ears and that cough. Lord, I pray You'd intervene in those things. Father, I pray that You'd touch those here in the church, some that are getting this virus, this cold, and these things that seems like it's going around. Father, I pray that You would help in those needs and You'd meet those needs. Father, I pray for those loved ones that are astray, those prodigals that have left home and are headed to the far country. Some of them are in the far country already. Father, I pray that You would draw them back with cords of kindness. Father, I pray that You'd show them the error of their ways. And Father, that instead of pride causing them to bow up and buck against the will of God, Father, I pray that there'd be some humility there. I know that You love humility and You will work with humility, that You resist the proud, but You give grace unto the humble. And so, Father, I pray bring these folk to the place that they will be humbled before Thee. I know, Lord, sometimes in order to be humbled, we have to be humiliated. And, Father, I don't relish that. I think about that prodigal son down in the hog pen, no doubt in my mind. He was humiliated. He was broke. He was alone. He got lonely and hungry, but he came to himself. What a day. Lord, I pray do that for others. Use the broadcast, Lord, I pray. Get the glory due Thy holy and precious name. Father, I pray accomplish the work that You want to do. And we'll ask it all in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. And we're going to get ready to move right on in the program. We've got a song by our family. This song was recorded just almost 10 years ago. It was recorded in 2007, but it was in the latter part of 2007. Our children singing, and this is primarily just them. This is without my wife or myself. Our children singing on this entire CD that this is taken from. And the song that they're singing is one of my wife's favorites, and it's entitled At the Crossing, talking about when we cross over Jordan. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. All right, I hope that that song by our family was a blessing to your heart, and hope you'll turn with us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 11, and also 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, be our text for our message for this week, and I hope it will be a blessing. We're going to go now to the services as they were recorded live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church.
1 Samuel chapter number 11. I tell you what, before I read that, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 24. I want to read these last three verses of this second chapter of 2 Timothy. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Boy, right there's the hardest one. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, some people are hurting themselves. That's what he's saying there. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, here's my phrase, I want to underline this, who are taken captive by him at his will. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Naboth Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers in unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of all the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. My thought from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 is that little phrase where he said, who are taken captive by him at his will. And then we come to the text, and this is where I'm going to preach from, in 1 Samuel chapter 11. These men so easily surrendered to the enemy. The enemy shows up, they encamped against Israel, verse number 1. They come out to him and said, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Now, something that's always jumped out at me in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is that phrase, who were taken captive by him at his will. It's amazing to me that some people become a prisoner of war without ever being on the battlefield. They never put up a fight. They just immediately walk into the trap, it looks like. They just walk right into the enemy's territory and surrender. I mean, it's like they don't have any fight about them at all to withstand the enemy. And that's what the Bible says, that pastor's got to be able to deal with that. And he's got to be able to try to help them. Some people are taken captive by the devil at his will. They've been a prisoner of war, never been actively engaged in the war. There's three things in that text there in 2 Timothy that's very dangerous things. I want you to notice Satan, they're taken captive by him. The devil. The devil is our enemy. Amen. Not only is there Satan, but there's a snare mentioned there. A snare is a device that is used to entrap. But here's the third thing. This is the most dangerous. Not only is Satan there, and not only is there a snare there, but people are asleep. Because that phrase where it said that they might recover themselves actually means to awaken from sleep. There's a lot of people, the storm's approaching, there's a lot of people that the devil's coming in, and you know what they've done? They've drifted off to sleep. They're not alert, they're not aware that there's anything going on. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a serious matter, and it is a scary matter. Amen. I'm afraid that it is all too common how often we see young people that are doing things, that are adapting to things, making decisions, living in certain ways that we know is going to cause them problems down the road. Amen? We see that. We recognize that. And yet it seems like they cannot see it. We know they're bringing themselves into captivity. We know they're opening the doors that are destructive and might bring destruction to them just down the road a little ways. And yet they cannot see that. Amen. We see parents allowing things into their homes, allowing things into the life of their children that we know is going to bring them into captivity and going to bring them to destruction. And yet, even the parents don't seem to see it any longer. We see pastors and teachers bringing things into their churches. Amen. We know it's going to lead their congregation down the wrong road, lead them into captivity, lead them into worldliness, lead them into an entertainment mode. Amen. And yet they don't see that. Amen. I'm telling you, if you do something big today to get the crowd, you're going to have to do something bigger tomorrow. Amen. It's got to be something that's of God. If you're going to have a work of God, the church has got to be built in the things of God. Now, in my text, in 1 Samuel chapter number 11, we see that Israel has just anointed Saul as king of Israel. This is in the first days of Saul in being the king. He's the first king of Israel. And immediately they face a problem. First of all, the men of Jabesh-Gilead. I want you to notice verse 1. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. Now, here's the problem. Jabesh is in Gilead. You probably know this. Gilead is on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Gilead is the land that they settled, that those 2.5 tribes that didn't want to enter into Canaan land, didn't want to enjoy the blessings of the promised land. They said, we like it here. It's a good place for cattle. It's a good place to make money. It's a good, we like it here. It's nice and serene here on this side of the Jordan River. And you remember the story? Moses said, you've got to go over and fight with your brethren or else you'll discourage your brethren. But I'm going to tell you, there is a danger in building your home on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Amen. You ought to want to cross over, amen. You ought to want to get all that God's got for you. Don't settle for second best when you can have best, amen. Amen. But Jabesh-Gilead's on the wrong side. Jabesh-Gilead is on the east side of Canaan. Now here's what's interesting. The Ammonites and the Moabites were the enemies of the children of God from start to finish. Enemies of the children of God. You know where they lay? If this is the promised land and then Jabesh in Gilead is on the east side, guess which side that Ammon's on? It's on the east side of them. And so if Ammon is going to attack Israel, they're going to go right through Jabesh-Gilead. And so that's the first place that gets the attack. Amen. These men of Jabesh-Gilead lived on the wrong place. They lived too close to the enemy. Amen. Too close to the enemy. I believe this can be used and should be used symbolically to show us that the enemy is sneaking up on our loved ones. Amen. Those that are not in the promised land. Those that maybe not in church or not in a good church or not in a place where they're hearing the truth and receiving what we're receiving. The devil's sneaking up on them and they may be the first to fall at his attacks. And we ought to be praying for them. Amen. But I'll say he's sneaking up on them, and in most cases, they're unsuspecting. They don't see it coming. And they're asleep. Now, here's my thought. I'm preaching on this thought today. Casually becoming a casualty. Verse 1, again, my text, 1 Samuel chapter 11, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. So you got one side getting ready to fight. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. No swords drawn on that side. Instead of reaching for their swords, the men of Jabesh reach for a pen to sign a covenant, a peace treaty. All they want is peace. They're not interested in fighting. They're not willing to stand for their family. They're not willing to stand for what's right. They're caving in before the battles ever even began. As soon as the enemy shows up and says, boo, they throw up their hands in surrender, they wave their white flag, and they're ready to quit that quickly. Amen. Now, here's something that I thought about when I was looking at this. The devil, this is how he comes in. He comes in casually. The problem here with these men was they lived between Israel and the Ammonites. And instead of seeing the Ammonites as enemy, they saw them as neighbors. But the devil wants to slip in and appear haphazard. In verse number 1, they showed up and they just came to encamp against them. These were men that were their neighbors. Amen. Men that were their neighbors. Here's how the devil comes in a lot of times. The devil, when he shows up to me and you, he don't always show up with his fists balled up. He don't always show up like he's getting ready to fight us. Many times he shows up with his hands stretched out because he wants fellowship. He just wants to have fun. Are you listening to me? He just wants us to be one of the guys. He just wants us to have fun with them and run with the crowd and go the way the world's going and do the things the world's doing. He just wants us to enjoy ourselves. But that's not what he's after. He's here to destroy us. Amen. He does not ball his fist up because he'd rather we didn't ball ours up. Amen. He'd rather come to us with outstretched hand, so we'll reach to him with outstretched hand. When the serpent attacked Eve, he did not appear to be attacking. He was asking her questions. And in her questions, he was trying to lead her to a better understanding. That's what he's got to say, by the way. He's going to lead her to a better understanding. I'm amazed at how many of our institutes of higher learning are of lower morals. The devil wants you just to understand a little better so that then all of a sudden what you do is you'll tolerate everything. Listen, we're living in a day when they'll tolerate perverts, they'll tolerate all kinds of, but they won't tolerate the truth. They won't tolerate the truth. They'll do away and they'll say, kill them, stop them, discriminate against them, amen. And that's the day we're living in and we'll just have to face it, that's true. But the devil's coming in and wants us all just to embrace, let's just all be family, let's just all be friends, let's just all have a good time together. He comes in casually, offering to Eve not only a better understanding, but a more enjoyment. He said, look at this fruit now. This fruit, God's withholding it from you, but it's good fruit. It's good for the eyes. It's good for food. It'll even make you wise. In other words, what the devil was saying to her, and he told her you'd be like gods, he's saying this will actually advance you. Do you know, I've read where men honestly said that they got started taking drugs because they could see things better in the spirit world than drugs. I guess you can. But it's the wrong spirits. Amen. People go off into sin, supposedly getting a deeper understanding of God. By the way, you don't need to investigate sin. You need to investigate God. Get full of God and it'll keep you from sin. And then you'll know why you don't need to fool with sin. Amen. Get closer to God. Amen. Well, the tactic of the enemy is that he loves to draw us to a place where we'll listen to his lies. He'll cause us to question God. He'll cause us to question God's word. And he'll cause us to be introduced to forbidden things. That's his tactic still to this day. Amen. Now, verse 1 of our text shows the Ammonites rising up against Jabesh-Gilead. And instead of fighting back, these men immediately suggested a peace treaty, a willing surrender. Amen. Now, why is this so? Again, I go back to this fact that these men obviously did not view the Ammonites as enemies. Rather than drawing a line, rather than mounting a defense, these men chose to open their borders. They chose to allow in the enemy. Amen. Listen, we don't need to bring the world in here. When I'm saying the world, bring in worldly entertainment and worldly actions and worldly things. Matter of fact, we ought to be striving more and more to keep that out because it's trying to get in. Amen. The devil will do his best to slip in any way he can. We don't need to open the door and invite him in. Amen. I told Brother Steve this sometime back when he was first started this series on Judges in Sunday school, started teaching on that. I told him that one of the things I noticed, God said, don't take their daughters for your sons and don't give your daughters to their sons. Right. Amen. Amen. This generation, here's what the church has said. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the religious world. The religious world has said, we need these young people. We need to get them in our circles. We need to get them in our crowd. And so what we've done, I'm saying we, the churches and religious world, has brought in worldly entertainment, has brought in worldly actions and worldly things, even dancing in the house of God, even nudity in the house of God, even, I'm talking about all kinds of worldliness, and they rationalized it to get the crowd. You know what we've done? We've given our daughters to their sons. That's what we've done.
And we have to break in right there on sort of a down note. I'm sorry to say, but it is true that we're living in a day when, as far as religion's concerned, many things have been compromised. And it has not helped. It has not increased the life of the church or the outreach of the church. Rather, it has drained the life of our church. Listen, you don't help people by getting down to where they are and being what they are. If you're going to help them, you have to be above that and give them a hand that reaches down to them to help pull them up. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the program today and tune in this same time tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.